This is Cameroon Calling. Our weekly magazine of news reports, interviews, commentaries, opinions, and analysis. A production of the news department of the Cameroon Radio Television Corporation, CRTV.
Welcome to Cameroon Calling and congratulations, you made it into the new year, 2025. Not everyone alive last year has crossed over into the new year, unfortunately. We cannot therefore take this for granted and need to thank God for the years, even when the only thing we do is to abuse them. There is nothing special about us that we are being transported one year after another. However, each new year brings with it a fresh sense of purpose. We are full of resolutions and renewed hope and faced with the opportunity to change some aspects of our lives, be it personal or as a nation. We can thrive or flounder. The choice is ours. But the choice is not that of the President of the Republic each time he makes his State of the Nation address on New Year's Eve. It is in keeping with tradition, and as is the tradition, he presented burdens and prospects for the nation going into the new year. In this first edition of the program for the year 2025, we shall provide perspectives and insights into the core issues of President Paul Biya's New Year message to the nation. I am Sam Bokuba with the CC Crew. Eben has the news roundup and the week in retrospect. Hi, Kelly, and Happy New Year.
Hello, Sam. Happy New Year and to all our CC listeners. Learning establishments across the country reopened their doors for the second term of the 2024-2025 school year this Monday. Students and pupils are returning to their classrooms after a two-week break marked by the Feast of Nativity and the New Year. Agro-industrial companies in Cameroon have been ordered to respect agreed-upon prices of basic commodities, without which severe sanctions will be meted out on them. The Minister of Trade, Luc Marguambarga Tangana, was speaking in Yaoundé after making an assessment of the promotional sales ongoing at the 20th May Boulevard. He urged consumers to denounce sellers who do not respect agreed prices, stating that the initiative is to fight price hikes and reduce inflation. There are plans to authorize the road construction company, Arab Contractors, to reorganize and complete maintenance works on some parts of the close to 110-kilometer road linking Balmayo to Sangmelima. Public Works Minister Emmanuel Ganunjumisi made the information public at the end of a brief inspection tour along the Sangkolnya stretch of the road. Upon completion, traffic flow will be fluid along the dilapidated National Road No. 9. The Cameroon Petroleum Depot Company, SCDP, has described as unfounded social media information that has gone viral about a supposed fuel shortage in the economic capital, Douala. In a release issued recently, the general manager of the Cameroon Petroleum Depot Company, Mansoua Véronique Épouse Mwampea Bio, reiterates that stocks available in the various SCDP depots are largely sufficient to ensure regular and permanent supply throughout the national territory. She calls for calm, vigilance and responsibility. More than 3,500 suspects have been arrested and over 900 unidentified motorcycles seized in the littoral region in a gendarmerie operation dubbed Tentacle. The Littoral Legion commander, Colonel Pierre-Aimé Bikele, who led the operation that was launched 6 months ago, gave the balance sheet in Douala. He called on the population to collaborate with gendarmerie teams to track down criminals and stolen objects. Operation Tentacle was launched by the Secretary of State in charge of the National Gendarmerie, Galax Yves Etoga. On a sad note, the chairwoman of the board of directors of the Douala Gynaeco Obstetrics and Pediatric Hospital is no more. Dr. Honoré Epe, who was also a member of the CRTV board of directors, died in Douala after she was taken ill. Still on a sad note, the late deputy mayor of the Bamenda 2 Council, Frida Joko Jing, who was murdered in cold blood by gunmen last October 2024, has been decorated posthumously with the Knight of the Order of Valor Medal by the President of the Republic. The medal was conferred on her corpse by the Governor of the Northwest Region, Adolphe Lele Lafrique, on behalf of the Head of State during a ceremony to pay homage to the politician, wherein mourners described her as a visionary leader who was engaged in the development of her community. In sports, the 2024-2025 National Division 1 Football Championship continues this Sunday with 6-day-6 fixtures programmed on stadia in the West Region, Douala and Yaoundé. In the meantime, Coton Sport of Garoua and Astre of Douala separated on a 1-1 draw just like Gazelle FA and Aigle Royal of the Mungo in two advanced day-6 matches played at the Rumdi Aja Stadium in Garoua. In news of the week, there is much in store in the coming days as the government is making moves toward improving the quality of healthcare delivery in the country through increasing the number of medical facilities. In his New Year address to the nation, President Paul Biya announced an operation to recruit 9,944 medical personnel in the country. President Paul Biya reassured Cameroonians that the country's economic growth remains on track despite various external challenges. The head of state also emphasized that the government is effectively addressing the security situation within the nation. Epaulette award ceremonies also took place across barracks and public squares nationwide following separate presidential decrees and ministerial decisions promoting defense and security forces to high ranks. The high point of the celebration was in Tuboro North Region, where the minister delegate at the presidency in charge of defense, Joseph Beti Asomo, presided over an arms-taking ceremony during which soldiers of the 31st Motorized Military Brigade received their epaulets. Still in news of the week, the Prime Minister, head of government, on behalf of the President of the Republic, Paul Biya, planted the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant in the Kribi Port Industrial Zone. The factory is projected to have a production capacity of up to 2.5 million tons of iron ore and 1.5 million tons of expandable steel upon completion. Chief Dr. Joseph Dianguti said during the ceremony that the structure, which falls in line with the government's import substitution policy, will help stabilize the internal market and make Cameroon an exporter of transformed steel products in the SEMAC zone. At the Star Building, the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph Dianguti, accorded a farewell audience to the outgoing Turkish ambassador to Cameroon, who hailed the rich bilateral ties between the two countries and expressed the wish to see them grow even stronger. His Excellency Volkan Ishiki, who has come to the end of his mandate in the country, was speaking during an audience granted him by the head of government. A new Secretary General has been appointed at the Senate. He is Gustave Leopold Ngane, and he was designated after a bureau meeting held under the chairmanship of the Senior Vice President of the Senate, Abubakari Abdullahi. In more news of the week, over 100 gallons of corrosive oxidizers used to produce explosive devices by suspected Boko Haram fighters and a huge stock of military and paramilitary wear have been seized by defense and security forces in the Far North region. Governor Mijiyawa Bakari congratulated the law enforcement officers in the region for the exploit and called on them to be more vigilant in the exercise of their duties. Governor Mijiyawa Bakari equally called on the populations to collaborate with administrative officials and defense and security forces in fighting against mountain insecurity by reporting suspected persons and strangers in all towns and villages. And the 505th in vitro baby has been delivered at the Center for Applied Research, Endoscopic Surgery and Human Reproduction. The delivery of the bouncing baby boy through a caesarean section took place in the presence of the Executive Director General of the Reference Health Facility, Professor Jean-Marie Kazia. Back to you, Sam.
Thanks, Kelly. Emanuela Vemnyoy now takes us to the newsstands to review the few newspapers making their appearance, as many have taken a short break at this time of the year.
Very few newspapers publish the week ending with major stories carried centered around the end-of-year festivities. Cameroon Insider announces the head of state's address to the nation, and in that speech, President Biya tells Cameroonians in Cameroon Tribune, "My determination in serving you remains unwavering." What the Daily Voice sees as Biya's ageless ambition for eighth term. Cameroon Insider quotes Biya in end-of-year message to the nation as saying, "There is much in store for better days ahead." Before Archbishop Kleda entreats Biya to step aside in 2025 in the median. But Biya tells Cameroonians in Cameroon Tribune, "Together we will continue to move forward." Municipal Updates then celebrates Biya's industrialization vision that gets a new boost with the laying of foundation stone of the Kribi Steel Complex. At the time, Cameroon Insider looks back at the best and worst moments of 2024. To the paper, the Chancleave was the downside, while the rise in cocoa prices a good record. To Cameroon Tribune, floods in the Far North region came to dampen the cheerful mood Cameroonians had with the election of Philemon Yang as the 78th president of the United Nations General Assembly, just when ELECAM, ahead of 2025 presidential election, is reported to be inching towards 8 million registered voters in the median. Cameroon Insider welcomes its readers to the year 2025 before announcing Betty Asomo on a commando mission to the North region. A visit, Cameroon Insider reports that a defense minister's presence peps up Tuboro troops. The interest of Cameroon echoes is on the population of Okondo Titi that has hailed Chief Justice Manfred for reviving rich cultural values. The same paper reports of protests from the population of Mayemen who accuse Nguti Divisional Officer of imposing kingmakers against tradition in Mayemen chieftaincy saga. Cameroon Tribune then announces an increase in the mobile money tariffs in 2025 before reporting on the election of the new Secretary General at the Senate and then the departure of the Turkish ambassador to Cameroon at the end of his diplomatic mission. And those were the papers for you.
Thanks, Emanuela. Coming up next, the soundbite.
Mentioned that 2025 is going to be a very important year for our democratic process. We have elections, presidential elections, regional elections, and he's called upon Cameroonians to be mindful of the fact that elections mean that we have to be responsible and we have to approach them with calmness and a steady head. So I would say it's a very compact speech which captures the essence of what has happened in the last year and projects the future of Cameroon, which I know is very bright. The far north with Boko Haram, the northwest and the southwest with the irredentist terrorists who have been causing a lot of mayhem on the populations. He made it clear that national unity will stay. The designs of those separatists will not succeed. The designs of Boko Haram will not succeed. And we can see that the situation has improved enormously. I don't want to mention names, but in many cities in the northwest and southwest, we can see that life is returning to normality. And where there are still issues, the security forces are at work to bring peace. Our climatic situation is such that roads are expensive to build, tarred roads. But even though that is the case, we've done over 600 kilometers of tarred roads and many more hundreds of kilometers of untarred roads. And he has projected that this will continue in 2025. And he actually named a number of roads, and I can cite the Bekoko, Limbe, Idinau road with a stretch from Mutengene to Buea. That is a road that is used a lot by people in the southwest region, and they will be very happy to hear that.
Human resource in the healthcare system. The doctor to patient ratio is very low, and the nurse to patient ratio is very low. So this has a very huge impact on the amount of care we render to our patient.
The precision of this number reflects the fact that needs assessment has been conducted. Over the past few years, we have worked closely with regional health delegations. We have closely worked with health district and hospital administrators to identify gaps and areas which need additional personnel. So I think this number represents the strategic balance between what the health system needs urgently and what the national budget can realistically accommodate over the next 5 years.
Not just about employing them, but giving them a considerable pay is very important, and assuring security too, because tertiary hospitals are saturated, the ones in big towns like Douala, Yaoundé, for example, and they are full with even voluntary workers and stuff, but because if they'll be start employing young doctors now, they'll be sending them to the suburbs.
While we cannot entirely eliminate this immigration, we are implementing measures to make the health sector in Cameroon more attractive. This includes improving working conditions, increasing salaries where possible, and offering opportunities for professional development. So I think the recruitment announced by the head of state is part of the broader strategy to build confidence in our system and to show that the government values its health workforce. So the fight against brain drain requires a collective effort.
Today's CC Soundbite.
Cameroon Calling. Cameroon Calling, we give you both sides of the story.
Tradition was respected last Tuesday, December the 31st, 2024, as President Paul Biya delivered his end-of-year message to the nation. Among other issues, the head of state expressed his ever-growing resolve to continue serving Cameroonians. He called for a unity of purpose to turn the nation's challenges into opportunities. But one of the things that caught public attention was the president's updated knowledge of the problems the population is facing. In Viewpoint on Cameroon Calling, editorialist Ashu Nyente argues that the knowledge of these problems will make sense if swift action is taken to remedy the situation for a better life for Cameroonians.
Before the head of state's message to the nation, many Cameroonians felt that their daily struggles and pains were unknown to those in power. However, after the speech, their opinion shifted, indicating the president's words resonated with them. The verdict was near unanimous. President Biya did not disappoint. He demonstrated a remarkable connection with his people, acknowledging the hardships they face daily. He cited devastating incidents like the floods in the far north and the Chancliff tragedy, which shocked the nation and sparked collective indignation. The president also highlighted the burdens of double identity, constant power cuts, deplorable roads, fatal accidents, epileptic water supply, and difficulties in exercising civic rights due to challenges in obtaining national identity cards. By acknowledging these challenges, Paul Biya sent a simple and clear message. He is fully aware of the daily struggles of Cameroonians. His speech vividly portrayed the pain and desolation faced by many. However, it's crucial that this awareness translates into concrete actions to address these problems. Fortunately, Cameroonians are taking comfort in President Biya's pledge to ensure that the majority of citizens see a better side of life. This requires swift and decisive action. It demands a sustained effort to carry Cameroonians along. Conscious of the need to address the plight of Cameroonians, President Paul Biya has put his personal credibility on the line. This is evident in his frequent use of the personal pronoun I when discussing direct policy orientations. He used I 4 times. For instance, he stated, "I will ensure that issues of governance are tackled. I have instructed the reorganization of the road fund. I have clearly directed the government to construct critical flood protection infrastructure, and I have ordered measures to address the problem of double identity." Most challenges Cameroonians face converge around those key flashpoints. By using I, President Biya speaks ex cathedra, with pronouncements that carry the weight of presidential authority, demonstrating his personal commitment and involvement in addressing these issues here and now due to their seriousness. He is showing that he is willing to take ownership and responsibility, which is a hallmark of leadership. Furthermore, President Biya is consistently consistent in expressing his awareness of the suffering of Cameroonians, particularly in the northwest and southwest regions, which unequivocally call for special attention. And he has maintained that the olive branches of peace and responsible dialogue are essential, echoing Winston Churchill's sentiment that it is better to jaw-jaw than to war-war. As Cameroon enters 2025, all eyes are on President Biya to turn challenges into opportunities. Seeing the stakes at hand, the challenges that beckon, and judging from the tone and style of the president, this year may not be a year for business as usual. With the support of Cameroonians, he has a chance to prove his words will be backed by concrete actions, paving the way for a better future and a better day to come. I rest my case.
Ashu Nyente is the Chief Unity Palace correspondent. It is now incumbent on the government to implement the directives issued by the head of state in his end-of-year message to the nation. After listening to the message with rapt attention, the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph John Gute, had the following reaction compiled by our Star Building correspondent, Christian Che Atam.
The millions of Cameroonians who listened to the end-of-year speech of the President of the Republic must each have come away with different interpretations, influenced by their respective visions, situations, and expectations. One person who plays a frontline part in the unrolling of most of the policy decisions mentioned in the speech came away with the impression that the head of state was logical in his philosophy and vision of statehood, constant in his quest for security and national integrity, and persistent in his chosen approach to economic development. As Prime Minister Joseph John Gute locked eyes with President Paul Biya through his giant smart TV screen in his lakeside residence in Yaoundé. On that night of the 31st December 2024, he says he immediately perceived the president's lifelong commitment to the security and protection of Cameroonians.
I think the speech of the President of the Republic has been very dense, and it's really a description of the state of the nation. It is a review of what has taken place and also giving a prospective perspective on what is going to happen. I would say that there were three major components of that speech. The first is his insistence on the security of the nation and also on the unity of the nation. Those are two issues that are very dear to him since he took over power. He has always insisted that people must move freely, goods must move freely without encumbrance in the country. And so he has instructed all the services concerned to ensure that this is the case.
He says the same unwavering resolve to defend the integrity of the national territory, which has characterized his reign all through, also filtered through.
The situation, as we know it, has improved enormously this year. There are three major areas of disturbances: the far north with Boko Haram, the northwest and the southwest with the irredentist terrorists who have been causing a lot of mayhem on the populations. And he made it clear that national unity will stay. The designs of those separatists will not succeed. The designs of Boko Haram will not succeed. And we can see that the situation has improved enormously. I don't want to mention names, but in many cities in the northwest and southwest, we can see that life is returning to normality. And where there are still issues, the security forces are at work to bring peace.
As the Prime Minister sipped in the President's speech, he says he recognized the Biya trademark approach to development, which passes through the reinforcement of the energy capabilities of the country to the stimulation of the home brand as a means of boosting the economy.
The second important aspect of his speech turned on economic growth. Of course, we know that without growth, we will stagnate, and with stagnation, we will regress. And therefore, it is important to know that we had a 3.8% growth last year, and we expect 4.1%, and some people think that it could even go up to 4.2%. That is so because some of the basic conditionalities that have to be put in place are being put in place, and the foremost amongst them is energy. Without energy, you cannot industrialize. And if you see how much money has been put in this sector, in the past 15 years, we have put in about 2,500 billion CFA in the energy sector. Recently, we've seen the Nachtigal Dam, which is injecting something like 420 megawatts into the national grid. We've seen the Lompagag Dam also, which is injecting a lot in the national grid. And I can't forget the numerous other small dams that are being created, and especially the solar energy, which is also being generated in a number of areas, especially in the north, where the conditions are appropriate for solar energy. So that is increasing a lot, and we are getting near self-sufficiency in energy, and it's very important for our economy. The other thing which you mentioned are the progress we are making in the mining sector. And of course, the mining sector is to render Cameroon self-sufficient in a number of things. For example, in steel, which is indispensable for construction. In cement, which is indispensable for construction. So a lot of those areas have improved enormously, and the economy is being boosted by all of that. He even talked of this tile fracturing Kribi, which is also an input, and I'm not going to mention the many other areas where we've seen improvement because I work on these issues every day, so I know the areas where things are happening.
To Joseph Diongute, the speech was also a reminder that the President of the Republic is fully aware of the challenges which affect the quality of the everyday lives of Cameroonians, and highlighted his resolve to continue pushing for better conditions for his compatriots.
The last issue he talked about is the issue of the conditions of life of the Cameroonian citizens, and he looked at in particular the road issue. Road is important for economic growth, but it's also important for
the livelihoods of people, for them to move freely, for their goods to move freely. It is an expensive area because, one, our climatic situation is such that roads are expensive to build, tarred roads. But even though that is the case, we have done over 600 kilometers of tarred roads and many more hundreds of kilometers of untarred roads. And he has projected that this will continue in 2025. And he actually named a number of roads. And I can cite the Bekoko Limbe Idinao road with a stretch from Mutengene to Buea. That is a road that is used a lot by people in the Southwest region, and they'll be very happy to hear that. He talked about the road between Ngaundere and Garwa, which has been quite a nightmare for some people in the past, but which will start because the loan agreement has been negotiated with the African Development Bank. And the road between Marwa Kuseri and many other roads he talked about, Akomdo Kribi, we know. So those are all areas which are very important. Of course, I won't mention the health sector. I've been going around the country inaugurating major health institutions which are helping Cameroonians across the board. Lastly, I think he mentioned that 2025 is going to be a very important year for our democratic process. We have elections, presidential elections, regional elections, and he's called upon Cameroonians to be mindful of the fact that elections mean that we have to be responsible and we have to approach them with calmness and a steady head. So I would say it's a very compact speech which captures the essence of what has happened in the last year and projects the future of Cameroon, which I know is very bright.
As the image of the President of the Republic faded out of the giant smart TV screen on the 31st of December, the Prime Minister says he was filled with hope and the courage to look to the future with optimism.
Christian Chair Altam. One of the major announcements made by President Paul Biya is a special recruitment of health workers as part of efforts to meet the health needs of Cameroonians. Take a listen to the President. The voiceover is by Peter Resuka.
We will keep up our efforts to enhance health care delivery by upgrading hospital technical facilities and expanding the health map. The recently inaugurated Ngaundere and Betwa regional hospitals are part of such efforts. To improve the sector's performance, I have ordered the recruitment of 9,944 health workers over the next 5 years. This special recruitment initiative will not only help to reduce unemployment among young health sector graduates, but also significantly improve patient care.
There have been widespread reactions to the announcement of a special recruitment of health workers over the next 5 years. While the presidential measure is highly acclaimed, many Cameroonians have been expressing the need to recruit and retain the staff. CEC's Rita Yosembom put together some views.
People don't understand what it's like for handling 100 patients every day. Sometimes I barely have time to eat. We're constantly short-staffed, and patients expect us to be calm and attentive. But how can we, when we are overworked and exhausted?
For years, medical personnel have braved these conditions, often working double shifts to compensate for the lack of staff.
We will not have to wait for a very long time before being attended to, especially when we need a specialist.
Patients wait for hours, sometimes days, to see a specialist.
When you go there, you see a very long queue of patients waiting to be attended.
And in rural areas, one nurse may be the only hope for an entire community. It is in this context that President Paul Biya's December 31st announcement to recruit 9,944 health workers over the next 5 years has sparked a wave of optimism among health workers.
The head of state promising us with this number, it was actually good to my ears.
It's going to help reduce the unemployment amongst youth. Given the fact that each year thousands of healthcare personnel have been trained, but they are not employed, they are out there in the street worrying around.
Their voices carry both relief and hope. Hope that the days of being stretched thin might soon be over.
We are expecting, though by right, that a concours be done. And if it's done per region, we will be happy. Because to crowd a lot of population there at the central region, it's a lot of population and to cope with there.
This initiative comes not only as a promise to ease workload, but also as a chance to rebuild trust in a healthcare system often criticized for its inefficiencies.
You also improve on their working conditions, because if there are more employees, definitely the workload will reduce, and effects like burnout, which is very common in health personnel, like people work 48 hours, 72 hour shifts. With employment is going to really improve that. And if people have better job satisfaction, they will definitely produce better results as well. Like the outcomes are going to be amazing, both patient-wise and practitioner-wise.
In Cameroon, we have a serious problem with human resource in the healthcare system. The doctor-to-patient ratio is very low, and the nurse-to-patient ratio is very low. So this has a very huge impact on the amount of care we render to our patient. So targeting the human resource, the quality of healthcare is going to improve nationwide if these healthcare personnel are being distributed or decentralized into the different levels of healthcare.
The recruitment's drive, they believe, could reduce the trend of brain drain, where highly trained professionals leave the country in search of better opportunities abroad.
The rate of unemployment of health personnel is really sad, and this is making a lot of young health practitioners, medical doctors, leaving the country. Like, once you finish your seventh year in med school, the next thing you're looking for is concours and integration fellowships and scholarships to just go abroad. And when they go, trust me, they don't want to come back.
There is a proverb that says, the one who nurses a baby should not sleep with hunger. So medical personnel are hopeful that this announcement means a better compensation and better recognition of their sacrifices. They say this move reassures them that they have not been forgotten.
Not just about employing them, but giving them a considerable pay is very important, and assuring security too, because tertiary hospitals are saturated. The ones in big towns like Douala, Yaoundé, for example, and their food, even voluntary workers and stuff.
The pay wage of the nurses are not good. If hearing such statement from the head of state, we hope that nurses will have good salaries too if they are to be employed.
At one point, we used to think that, the state registered nurses have no value in Cameroon. We used to think that it's the same as the ENS, where you ride and then you have an integration and then you start working for the country. But that was not the case with us. So it got us worked up. But according to the speech made by the president, I was so happy because I know that things are going to be fine, and then it's going to do us lots of good.
Beyond recruitment, there is a question of sustainability. Will these workers be provided with the tools and training needed to meet rising demand? Experts stress that continuous capacity building and investments in medical supplies will be crucial in making this initiative effective.
If they start employing young doctors now, they'll be sending them to the suburbs. Suburbs here includes war zone areas like the north, like northwest and southwest. So if they are employing young doctors, they should send, and they are sending them to this area, they should also consider their security.
As Cameroon looks to 2025, the focus will be on turning words to action. The president's announcement has sown the seed of hope, but it will take consistent nurturing through funding, training, and accountability for these plans to bear fruit. For now, medical personnel are watching closely, believing that perhaps this time change is finally on the horizon.
Rita Yosembam, on Cameroon Calling to talk about the announced special recruitment of health workers is the Minister of Public Health, Dr. Manauda Malachi.
I want, on behalf of the entire family of health sector, to say our deepest gratitude to the head of state for responding positively to our plea. So I think the announcement by the President of the Republic is a testament of the government's unwavering commitment to strengthen our health sector, even in the face of, as you know, the budgetary constraints. So in my humble point of view, that reflects the deepest understanding of the challenges we face, particularly the significant human resource deficit in our public health sector. So personally, I welcome this initiative with great optimism, as it will not only inject new energy in our health sector, but also to boost our ability to provide quality health care to our citizens. So let me once more say thank you to the head of state, His Excellency Paul Biya, for this important measure.
Minister Manauda Malachi, the number to be recruited is 9,944. Mm. So precise. Do you have an idea of how that number came about?
Let me say that indeed the precision of this number reflects the fact that needs assessment has been conducted. We have run multiple workshops in this issue, and over the past few years we have worked closely with regional health delegations. We have closely worked with health district and hospital administrators to identify gaps and areas which need additional personnel. So I think this number represents the strategic balance between what the health system needs urgently and what the national budget can realistically accommodate over the next 5 years. So it ensures that the recruitment process is both targeted and impactful.
Fresh blood to be pumped into the public health sector in Cameroon, but when we look at the rate at which health workers are leaving the country in search of greener pastures abroad, do you have the impression that the shortage of health workers in the country will ever find a lasting solution, Mr. Minister?
Seeing in this way, I will say you are right. We have many problems with our health workers, but this is one concern we take very seriously, I think, the last 2 or 3 years. While we cannot entirely eliminate this immigration, we are implementing measures to make the health sector in Cameroon more attractive, even the conditions of these health workers. This includes improving working conditions, increasing salaries where possible, and offering opportunities for professional development. So I think the recruitment announced by the head of state is part of the broader strategy to build confidence in our system and to show that the government values its health workforce. So the fight against brain drain requires a collective effort, and we are committed to making the necessary investment to retain our professionals in our country. So we can say above all that it's a matter of a collective reflection. We are going to appeal for the conscience of our health workers. So I think that is what we are doing now to retain them in our country.
President Paul Biya rejoicing over government's efforts to improve healthcare delivery through the construction and equipment of hospitals across the country. He talked of the regional hospital centers in Betoua and Ngaoundéré. What assessment do you make of those projects that are being carried out within the framework of the 3-year emergency plan, known in French as Planut?
Yes, the Planut has been transformative, as you know, for our health sector. We have seen significant progress in the construction and modernization of hospitals, especially in underserved regions. So I think new equipment and facilities have greatly improved the quality of care, and many communities now have better access to essential services. However, challenges remain, particularly in ensuring the sustainability of these investment and maintaining the equipment. So the government opening is ongoing The recruitment of new health worker by the head of state will further enhance the impact of this project. So I will add and say that we are working for the national plan of maintaining this equipment, and the directors of these planet hospitals are aware about our target in this sector.
Any word about the situation in Bamenda and in Boya? We know that Marwa is already set for inauguration.
Yes, Marwa is, I think we can propose the inauguration of Marwa for February or March 2025. Boya and Bamenda, we are working on it and we are ready to start the work again. So we are going to start with Boya, and I think in the next few days I will be in the field with the enterprise to go and see what can be done immediately to start the work at Boya Hospital. Indeed, we have confidence that the population can see what they are losing. So I think they have to let us continue our work. Let us strengthen our health sector. We have a contract with MINDEF to secure the site and to let the enterprise work. And we call our compatriots in these two regions to be very focused for the health sector and to let them work.
Minister Manauda Malachi, any special message for health workers in Cameroon at the start of this new year, 2025?
I think I have so many things to tell our health workers. So indeed, I'm very pleased and satisfied for their work. So I tell them my gratitude for their unwavering dedication and resilience. I'm taken to the health workers. They are the backbone of our healthcare system, and their sacrifices do not go unnoticed. So the government is taking appropriate measures to address your concern, as evidenced by the special recruitment program of the President of the Republic, His Excellency Paul Biya. So I encourage them to continue serving with the same passion and professionalism as we work together to build a strong and more equitable healthcare system for all Cameroonians. So I think we have to do it with our hearts and all our energy. So let me above all say that we are beginning a new year. We have to strengthen our passion. We have to strengthen our energy. We have to go further and address so specially our objectives and to run our action plan for 2025. So happy new year to all and God bless them.
The Minister of Public Health, Dr. Manauda Malachi, interviewed by George Kelong. As it came out of President Paul Biya's message to the nation, the plan to transform Cameroon's primarily agrarian economy into one based on manufacturing and industry is gaining momentum. Through its programs and initiatives, the government is playing a significant role in the structural transformation plan, driven by a combination of infrastructural investments, economic diversification, and international partnerships. So, what specific developments indicate that industrialization is taking shape in Cameroon? Winston Lebga.
Cameroon is pursuing its ambition of becoming an upper-middle-income country by 2035, that is, 10 years from now. To achieve this goal, the government has designed an industrial development master plan. It aims to accelerate economic growth, elevate the country, make it claim a higher pedestal in the industrial sector, as well as to cushion the country against structural or systemic shocks through deeper economic diversification. To that effect, the strategic sectors are agricultural processing, promoting the growth of manufacturing industries, including textiles, food processing, and construction materials, plus the development of the mining sector. We are talking about iron ore, gold, and other minerals. In this light, Cameroon has taken steps to preserve its subsoil wealth, including its mineral resources, and is making moves towards ensuring that the benefits of mining activities are shared equitably among all stakeholders. Cameroon is involved in a mega project with the Republic of Congo, also known as Congo Brazzaville, It is the Mbalam Nabeba Iron Ore Project, a cross-border mining project to develop iron ore deposits in Mbalam in Cameroon and Nabeba in Congo. This includes constructing a 510-kilometer railway line to move the iron ore from the mine to the port of Kribi. The railroad will be beneficial to other industries and communities along the route. Kribi's deep water port is being developed in connection with the mega project to increase Cameroon's maritime trade capacity and efficiency. Thousands of job opportunities are to be created on Monday, December 30, 2024, at the behest of the President of the Republic, Paul Biya. Prime Minister Joseph Diangote laid the foundation stone of the Kribi Modern Steel Complex. This is a project that will establish Cameroon as a significant player in the global iron ore market, with its potential to develop a domestic iron and steel industry. Apart from jobs, communities will be looking forward to improved infrastructure, health care, and education services. President Paul Biya says the country's industrialization is taking shape by the day, pointing out that there are bright prospects for developing the rich potential of the mining sector. There is the Bibaga tile production plant, still in the ocean division, that started last year with an initial production capacity of about 50,000 square meters of tiles. The factory is to produce tiles for Cameroon and to export to other Central African countries and beyond. It is to reduce reliance on imported tiles. There is the Wassa Babute agro-industrial hub in the central region, passing through Koteng. It is designed to be a high-tech processing industrial zone, complete with a research and development center, support infrastructure for businesses and raw material producers, a commercial and business service zone. It shall incorporate innovation accelerators and production basins in rural areas. It shall focus on producing and processing cereals, tubers, milk, and its by-products for local consumption and exportation. Although Cameroon has made great strides in shaping its industrialization, the project faces several challenges that need to be addressed. There is a need to develop the transportation network, roads, railways, and ports. Industrial development is hindered by a deficit in reliable and affordable electricity. Industrial production suffers because of water scarcity, a significant challenge in many parts of the country. Bureaucratic red tape affects the business environment, making it difficult for entrepreneurs to start and operate a business. And this will always stoke concerns over the possibility of investing in a country blighted by endemic corruption. And of course, the workforce needs the necessary skills and training to support industrial development. For many skilled Cameroonians immigrate to other countries in search of better opportunities, depriving their fatherland of their much-needed talent.
Winston Lebga. As a matter of fact, the president said the pace of industrialization and development in the mining sector should jumpstart Cameroon's economy.
The industrialization of our country is taking shape by the day. The opening of the largest tile production plant in Central Africa, in the locality of Bipaga, in April, with the creation of over 2,500 direct jobs, is further proof of such industrialization. The dynamism of the industrial sector is also evidenced by the commissioning of a sixth cement plant in Cameroon, resulting in lower cement prices. There is no doubt that this booming sector forms the cornerstone of our country's legitimate aspiration to economic emergence. There are also bright prospects for developing the rich potential of our mining sector. The mining of the Kribi Lobe, Bipindi Grand Zambi, and Balam Nabeba iron deposits is imminent. The same holds for the Minim Matap bauxite, whose mining convention was signed last July. I am also convinced that the mastery of the marketing channels of our minerals will increase the volume of financial resources required to implement our development projects.
Also prominent in the message were strides made on the economic front despite internal and external challenges.
The consolidation of our country's economic growth is now real. Cameroon is regularly praised by the relevant financial bodies for its resilience despite a particularly difficult international context. Indeed, in recent years, we have had our share of exogenous shocks. The war in Eastern Europe, the Middle East conflict, the gloomy capital and commodity markets, climate disruptions, inflationary pressures, and oil price fluctuations have showed our growth prospects. Despite this particularly challenging global context, Cameroon's economy witnessed a renewed activity with an estimated growth rate of 3.8% in 2024, which is projected to reach 4.1% in 2025. Measures taken to limit speculative behavior and increase the supply of essential goods have helped to contain inflation at 5% this year, down from 7.4% in 2023. This trend is expected to continue in 2025 to stand at 4%. To reduce our trade balance deficit and ensure food sovereignty, the Integrated Agro-Pastoral and Fisheries Import Substitution Plan, which I announced last year, is starting to yield tangible outcomes. During this year, 452 tons of seed and 12,800 tons of flour were produced. Also, going forward, our list of exported products includes industrial products, notably aluminium. This trend should accelerate in 2025, thanks to the reform of the National Investment Corporation, making this body a veritable strategic lever for promoting productive investments in Cameroon. Furthermore, government has kept up efforts to rehabilitate and structurally transform our economy by progressively operationally the economic zones. Several initiatives have been undertaken to this regard, including the Kribi Port Authority's Integrated Industrial Area dedicated to the processing of commodities such as cocoa, coffee, and rubber. With regard to cocoa in particular, the qualitative excellence promotion policy implemented in recent years has resulted in exceptional price levels benefiting producers. Similarly, two economic zones specializing in wood processing are being set up in Adea and Betwa. Such is also the case of the Agro-Industrial Technology Hub at Wassa Mabute via Nkoteng, which will be devoted to the production and processing of cereals, tubers, milk, and its byproducts.
Concerning social amenities, the president had this to say.
My core concern since acceding to the helm of state has also been to improve the living conditions of Cameroonians. Under my leadership, substantial efforts have been made by public authorities to ensure that our people have satisfactory access to basic social services. The current high population growth of our country has definitely reduced the impact of these efforts due to ever-increasing demands. Accordingly, under my authority, government has always paid special attention to implementing projects that contribute towards making the daily lives of every citizen better. Such is notably the case for electric power supply, whose importance for the development of economic activities and the lives of households is beyond question. Power supply has improved significantly since the completion of the Lumpanga Damto plant and the commissioning of the Nachtigal Dam this year. The volume of investment in this strategic sector is bound to increase as several hydroelectric and photovoltaic projects come to maturation. With regard to the rural areas in particular, phase four of the project to electrify 1,000 localities with solar energy will continue. The same holds for the construction of 360 solar power plants in administrative units that are yet to be electrified. The completion of this project and the interconnection of the southern and northern grids will ultimately reduce load shedding and narrow the energy gap between the southern and northern regions of our country. Drinking water supply is another major challenge that the government has taken up in recent years with commendable determination. The commissioning of the drinking water supply project for the city of Yaoundé has significantly improved coverage in this urban center. To further improve access, a campaign to connect 8,000 households to the drinking water network has been initiated in the city. In the city of Douala, the rehabilitation extension of the Japoma waterworks is ongoing, while the engineering studies for the drinking water supply mega project in the city have been completed. The upgrading of drinking water production facilities is ongoing in many secondary towns. Our ambition is to provide quality water in each of our localities to meet the expectations of our fellow citizens.
The deplorable state of the country's road network also came under review.
My dear compatriots, let me say a word about the road network. I am aware of your frustration about the deterioration of our urban and interurban roads. As you know, this situation significantly impacts economic activities and is often a major cause of traffic accidents. I can assure you that the current state of our road network does not reflect the efforts and sacrifices being made for its rehabilitation and expansion. The challenges in this sector are well known. Foremost among them is the availability of funding, followed by the impact of rainfall. I do not lose sight of governance issues, which undoubtedly call for firm and urgent measures. I will ensure that these issues are tackled. To address the situation, I have instructed the reorganization of the road fund with a view to enhancing its capacity to mobilize the funding required for road construction, rehabilitation, and maintenance projects. Despite the weaknesses I have outlined, we must not overlook the significant effort made in this sector. During the year drawing to an end, 446 kilometers of roads were paved nationwide, and 228 kilometers were rehabilitated. Other road rehabilitation projects will be launched in 2025, including the Bikoko, Limbe, Idenau, and the Mutengene-Boya sections. Following extensive negotiations with donors, several long-anticipated road projects are now set to begin. These include the Ngaundere-Garua, the Obolowa-Akom-De-Kribi, and the Mora-Kuseri roads. Meanwhile, the construction of the urban sector of the Yaoundé and Simalang motorway has started, and phase two of the Yaoundé-Douala motorway is making progress.
The head of state also underlined the need to improve governance as the government mobilizes resources to carry out projects.
The implementation of the projects I have just mentioned, and many others, require substantial financial resources. The said resources, as we are all aware, are becoming increasingly scarce and challenging to mobilize due to the prevailing global situation and the constraints inherent in our economy. To achieve our set development goals, we must improve governance access across all sections of activity. The extraordinary summit of CEMAC member states, recently hosted by our country, underscored the pressing need to implement the requisite structural reforms for fiscal consolidation within our sub-region. As in the past, K Cameroon will spare no effort to achieve this objective. Improving governance also means stepping up the fight against corruption and misappropriation of public funds. This ensures legal protection for private investment and land tenure security where abuses have been noted. Let me assure you of one thing. Appropriate sanctions will be meted out on those found guilty of such offenses.
The year 2024 witnessed its own share of accidents and disasters that did not go unnoticed by the president.
A number of our compatriots lost their lives this year as a result of accidents, some of which could have been avoided. These include road accidents as well as the collapse of buildings constructed in violation of the regulations in force. The measures taken by public authorities to reduce the risk of accidents will be continued and intensified. Unfortunately, we also recorded many victims of natural disaster. The tragedy of the Chancrif and the floods in the far north region are proof of the consequences of our increasing exposure to climate change. While it is true that such floods are, for the most part, difficult to predict, we must step up our efforts to prevent or reduce the ensuing damage. To this end, I have clearly directed the government to implement a specific plan to construct and rehabilitate critical flood protection infrastructure in this region.
There was a message for teachers in the presidential address.
Dialogue between the government and trade unions is ongoing in a bid to address the aspirations and concerns of teachers.
With security being at the center of every development endeavor, President Paul Biya gave pride of place in his message to efforts made to protect Cameroon's territorial integrity.
A few years ago, I stated that the current 7-year term would be decisive insofar as it would enable our country to resolutely continue its march towards emergence. I did specify that this objective should be made a veritable national cause, especially through our collective commitment to restoring security, strengthening our economic growth, and significantly improving the living conditions of Cameroonians. In hindsight, the years that have gone by since then show that great strides have been made in each of these areas. Security, which is a prerequisite for economic and social progress, has been and remains our core priority. Thanks to the combined action of our defense and police forces, the administrative authorities, and the populace, our country has remained stable despite a particularly troubled global context. Granted, some areas of our country continue to face cowardly attacks from terrorist groups and serious crime. However, I can assure you that all is being done to bring lasting peace across our territory. Crime in our urban areas and rural areas is being energetically combated by the forces of law and order, who I earnestly encourage. I am particularly pleased with the progress achieved in combating the Boko Haram terrorist group. The operations carried out in recent years by our armed forces in the far north region have severely curbed the destructive capacity of these terrorists, who are now reduced to attacking only innocent civilians. I have also noted that the reconstruction of the northwest and southwest regions is progressing despite the atrocities being committed by some armed gangs which continue to target mainly the civilian population. It can never be overemphasized that the separatist cause championed by these purportedly enlightened beings is doomed to failure. Cameroon will remain one and indivisible. Such is the wish of the overwhelming majority of our compatriots. This is the very essence of the mandate given to me, and I will never fail to deliver it. My dear compatriots, you know my attachment to national unity, progress, and peace. You are witnesses of the action the government has been taking for years under my leadership to bring an end to this security crisis that is undermining the development of these regions and plunging many families into mourning. I take this opportunity to remind the members of this armed band that the nation is still reaching out to them. I urge them once again to take up the offer of peace that has been made to them and to lay down their weapons. Hundreds of their comrades have already joined the disarmament, demobilization and reintegration centers and have been trained in different trades for their easy social integration. The fate of the diehard warmongers is unenviable. They will be relentlessly tracked down and will inevitably answer for their crimes.
The head of state also confirmed that presidential and regional elections will be held this year.
The year 2025 will usher in a new season of elections. According to the electoral calendar, the presidential and regional elections will be held this year. As in the past, these events will represent major milestones in the life of our nation. Let us take this opportunity to further strengthen our democracy. I call on all stakeholders to show proof of maturity and responsibility and to ensure that peace and stability prevail before, during, and after these elections. I am fully aware that some of our compatriots continue to face challenges in enrolling on the electoral register due to lack of national identity cards. Many of them are burdened by issues of dual identity, a predicament for which they themselves are responsible. To address this situation speedily, I have ordered that the requisite measures should be taken.
In order to meet the challenges facing the nation, President Paul Biya appealed for a concerted effort.
The year 2025 promises to be replete with challenges. However, there is not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that by remaining as united and cohesive as always, we will meet them. Yes, my dear compatriots, we will, as in the past, together turn these challenges into opportunities. Together, we will continue to move forward with determination in security and peace. I particularly appreciate the unwavering and massive support you have always given me over the years. It is this unwavering trust that has inspired my tireless effort to meet your aspirations. Your trust is both an honor and a compass for my actions in steering our beloved and beautiful country. I can assure you that my resolve to serve you remains steadfast and grows stronger by the day as we address the immense challenges facing us. Fellow Cameroonians, my dear compatriots, it is now time for me to extend to each and every one of you my best wishes for a happy and prosperous New Year 2025. Long live the Republic, long live Cameroon.
You are listening to Cameroon Calling on the radio network of the CRTV.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have arrived.
Amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here.
In today's CC Sport, Rene Kache takes interest in the reforms introduced by Cameroon's 2025 finance law and how significantly it is expected to affect the management of sports federations in the country.
The Minister of Finance, Louis-Paul Motaze, within the week, released detailed instructions for implementing the 2025 finance law. According to Section 171 of the circular, the management of funds for national and international competitions has been transferred to the Minister of Sports and Physical Education, who will now oversee their allocation and use. Section 172 further outlines that within 30 days of the conclusion of a competition, a financial report accompanied by supporting documents must be submitted to the appropriate financial controller for review and clearance. In practical terms, this means that federations will now depend on the Ministry of Sports and Physical Education for funding related to national and international competitions or matches. And at the core of this discussion lies a timeless truth. Taxpayers' money must be used judiciously. This slogan is not just a statement of policy. It is a moral imperative, a call to uphold the social contract that is supposed to exist between the government and its people. Every franc spent from the public coffers represents the sweat, toil, and aspirations of countless citizens. To misuse these funds is not merely an administrative failure. It is a betrayal of trust and a dereliction of duty. Why, one might ask, does the state exist? Among many reasons, it exists to steward resources for the common good. Public funds drawn from the collective effort of society must be wielded with wisdom and foresight. This principle resonates deeply in the context of Cameroon's sports sector, where the hopes of a nation are so often tied to the triumphs of its teams on the global stage. To understand the present, we must reflect on the past. There have been instances where funds meant for athletes were diverted to luxury hotels, inflated allowances, and unnecessary administrative expenses. The result? Teams ill-prepared for competitions, young athletes abandoned in their prime, and priorities misaligned with the greater good have eroded public confidence. The 1994 GoFundMe incident during the World Cup, what was popularly known as the coup de coeur, where the hard-earned money of Cameroonians mysteriously disappeared somewhere between Paris and New York, remains a vivid and troubling memory for many. In such instances, the cry for reform becomes not just practical, but existential. The 2025 finance law, signed into effect by Prime Minister Joseph Diongute, seeks to address these challenges by centralizing financial management under the Ministry of Sports and Physical Education. Sections 171 and 172 of the circular lay out a framework of oversight and accountability, ensuring that taxpayers' money must be used judiciously. Money, they say, is the lifeblood of any endeavor. But what happens when that lifeblood is mismanaged, squandered, or misdirected? The result is more than financial loss. It is the erosion of trust, the stagnation of progress, and the betrayal of dreams. These missteps are not merely financial errors. They are ethical failures. They remind us of the ancient wisdom that where there is no vision, the people perish. Sports too need vision. A vision that places integrity above profit, service above self-interest, and the future above the fleeting comforts of the present. But again, in my scattered thoughts, a question comes begging for an answer. Is this centralization genuinely driven by the noble aim of better governance, or does it subtly reflect underlying power struggles? Tensions between the Ministry of Sports and certain federation leaders, particularly FECAFOOT President Samuel Eto'o, are well documented. Could this decision be motivated as much by a desire to settle scores as by the intent to implement meaningful reform? In fact, one must question whether the concentration of power, even with the noblest intention, risks undermining the autonomy and creativity of federations. While the misuse of resources is unacceptable, the overreach of bureaucracy can stifle innovation and agility. Is there not a balance to be struck where oversight ensures accountability without extinguishing initiative? Responsibility is a two-sided coin. On one side is the government's duty to ensure that public funds serve their intended purpose. On the other is the obligation of federations to act as faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to them. When either side fails, the consequences reverberate through society. The stories of financial mismanagement in the past, exorbitant travel allowances, inflated budgets, and poorly accounted expenditures are not merely administrative scandals. They are moral failings that undermine the nation's progress. When public funds are misused, it is not just an economic failure. It is a moral one. It diminishes the dreams of young athletes, tarnishes the nation's image, and erodes the social contract that binds us together. Taxpayers' money must be used judiciously because it represents the trust of millions, the hopes of a nation, and the promise of a brighter future. And so, the government's move to impose stricter controls is, in principle, a reaffirmation that taxpayers' money must be used judiciously. As the fiscal year continues to unravel, one cannot help but wonder, will this new law foster cooperation or deepen conflict? Federations like Fecafoot must now navigate a landscape where their financial independence is curtailed. This may compel greater discipline, but it also risks creating delays and inefficiencies. The Ministry of Sports and Physical Education must wield its newfound authority not as a weapon to settle scores, but as a tool for nurturing excellence. This is where unity and maturity come in, a recognition that all stakeholders share a common goal, the advancement of Cameroonian sports. To achieve this, egos must be set aside and the focus must remain on the greater good, the nation and the nation alone. And so in the months to come, the results of this reform will unfold before our very eyes. Will it bring about the discipline and transparency it promises? Or will it falter under the weight of bureaucracy and power struggles? Only time, and time alone will tell.
Rene Kache concluding the program today. Contributions also came from George Kelong, Winston Lebga, Rita Yosembam, Christian Chair Atam, Ashu Nyante, Emanuela Vemnyoy, and Kelly Aben. Deren Engele was at the Computer Production and Broadcasting System, Daniel Mamia at the Audio Console, and Dan Asabe at the Copyright Registry. Rita Yosembam produced the program under the coordination of George Kelong and Valerie Dikozomaru and supervision of Madeleine Sopi Koto. At the anchor and on behalf of the entire crew, I am Sam Bukuba wishing you a Happy New Year 2025.
That was Cameroon Calling, a production of the news department of CRTV.